a month old.
So your mom was tough. Yeah. Was she like, where did
just
she come from? Was
Depression
she Canadian?
Era hard farm woman.
But all, really? But all from Canada for generations.
Yeah, although her she was born in Canada, but her family came from Nebraska.
Scandinavians?
I always said they moved from Nebraska to Saskatchewan because they wanted to gear down. They couldn't handle the hurly-burly pace of Nebraska.
This is a good time for us to take a few minutes of time out here and mention to the folks that the program's coming to them from Steel Hats. The sun never sets on a steel hat.
That's true. That's true. Steel Hat, Nebraska is where all of these fine goods are made.
Yes, indeed.
And we would suggest that if you are ever in or near Steel Hat, a fine little town of 500...
Just been bought by the Gay Liberation Front, I might say. Steel Hat?
Yeah. It's a company town now.
Yeah, there's more of them than there are of them, and so they bought it from them.
Well, that's sad. Well, if you're in Steel Hat and can get with it, you know, why, come by and see the Steel Hat plant, because the folks down there will be love to...
And don't miss the demonstration, the Steel Hat demonstration.
Either. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you get to wear a steel hat, and they hit you with a sledgehammer. And...
Oh, right in the head?
Yeah. Boom!
Oh, that's hard on the ears.
Do that to me, will you?
Okay.
Boom! Oh, tickles.
Do you know that,
You're not even wearing a steel hat. No, I'm not. I forgot my steel hat. Oh, you dummy. Yeah, oh, boy, I'm not so dumb. I'm Dr. IQ. Oh, boy.
So they came to Saskatchewan.
It's probably for more land.
Well, it was. Saskatchewan was, they were trying to populate.
Right.
And so they were giving away very
expensive
land.
Were they Scandinavian?
No. Irish would be her heritage. And my father's heritage was English. But
How'd they get to Canada? Why Canada?
Well, with my mother's parents, like it was the land giveaway.
Yeah.
They could literally get they sold their farm in Nebraska and got like three times as much land or something.
Right. That's how they did it here too. They had all these, I think they were like Siberian or Scandinavian. Like no one knew how to farm that land up there. So they gave away the land to people from countries that had the type of weather.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why
a lot of Ukrainians came to Saskatchewan. Well, really knock me out, leave the West behind. And my school girls make me sing and shout. That Georgia's always on my mind. Oh, yeah. Huh. Because it was very similar on the same
winter
what do you
call
wheat. It, a parallel or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot, I was the only, of my buddies growing up, they were almost all Ukrainian stock.
Oh, yeah?
I was the, we said I was the visible minority because my shirt wasn't buttoned crooked. was my anti-Ukrainian joke to my friends growing up.
Knocking that community, the Ukrainians. They don't get enough shit.
I was the minority. Yeah. You got to understand.
Yeah.
I was free.
Did you get to eat at their house a lot? Like pierogies?
Yeah.
And
unbelievable food.
Good
so
food,
great.
Right?
And then I was always like a little fat kid, and their parents would always say I was too skinny. I loved that. They'd be like, eat some more, have some more sausage, you're too skinny.
My mother's mother spoke only Ukrainian. She made wonderful borscht, and whenever I was eating it at her house, she always insisted I pour in some sour cream, smetana in Ukrainian, the only word I ever learned of her language. She felt I was too skinny, needed more sour cream to fatten me up.
Well, what were they farming, man? What do you know?
Changes by the market, whatever.
What are all these big buildings in Saskatchewan? I expect them in Manhattan, but out here?
Grain elevators. The farmers pour their grain for the trains to pick up. Prairie pyramids. The veldt of the prairies and Egypt both is their grain. Did you know the builders of the pyramids were paid with beer?
So that's why the Sphinx is smiling?
Still a lot of bees up there?
Yeah, still a lot of bees. That was like all my life. I think actually the year that I was born, my father took a job at the honey plant where they processed honey, and he ran the boiler rooms and stuff there.
Yeah. So you had plenty of honey growing up?
Yeah, loads of honey.
Like the raw stuff in the cone?
Still when I smell honey, like if you're in a store and there's like a beeswax candle, and it smells like my dad. I launch back. It reminds me of my dad.
That's crazy. That's a unique and singular sense memory.
Yeah, it is. And it's so locked in. Like it's so tied to your olfactory senses and your memory.
And that smell, beeswax.
Beeswax smells like my dad. And he was just, you know, he just was a scrappy...
Didn't have anything invested in honey, necessarily. It's just a job.
He went to work.
Yeah. But he
ran the boiler room. I don't know what the hell they needed boilers for.
To get the wax, that's how they separated shit, right? They had to separate the wax from the honey.
And there was just bees, like, just all around the factory. I remember, I have this very clear memory one time, because I used to go with him sometime to work.
Of course.
And hang out in the summer, you know, summer holidays, home from school. Because the boiler room was very, it seemed like the Bat Cave to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
One wall of it was just like dirt. It was like carved out of dirt. And
really?
Then there was like, you know, pipes and everything. Like a mad scientist kind of. It was like the Bat Cave. And so I used to like to go hang out there, and I have this clear memory of one time he was telling me something, and as he was talking, he was going to put on, you know, he's putting on these big rubber gloves that he used to handle these hot barrels or whatever. So he's talking to me, puts on these gloves, and then he takes the glove off. He doesn't even lose a sentence. Like, and about 9 bees fly out of this glove. And he never even stopped talking. And I said to him, didn't you get stung there? He said, oh, yeah, I got stung a lot then. But it was just like part of the day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I get stung 50 times a day.
Work hazard. So the bees are just there because it smells so good.
Yeah, because they love the way my dad smelled.
Yeah, and to this day, many bees, when they smell that, they think of your father.
They think of my father. Remember that, dude?
Well, Mr. President, it's the bees and spiders again. They stole my food stamps and sold them to the rats. And I tried to get down to my car for to honk the horn for help, but the snakes is gardening for the cockroaches. I go back upstairs, but the spiders is jammed the police lock. I ain't been inside for a week, and I know that my wife is sleeping with the bees.
What do the following have in common? A bottle of chloroform, a doctor's top hat, and a prosthetic limb. Well, they all played a part in giving us the one thing that Canadians consistently rate as our greatest national treasure, universal health care. Back when Tommy Douglas was 7 years old, he developed a pretty serious leg infection, and his parents couldn't afford to send him to a hospital, so a doctor came over to check it out. Now here's what they did. Knocked him out with chloroform and laid him on the kitchen table, and then cut in to try to scrape away at the infection. Well, surprise, surprise, but that didn't exactly work. So Tommy came this close to getting one of these. It's just that amputation should never even have been an option, but his parents couldn't afford to get Tommy the proper medical attention.
And now, a pause in the busy day's activity. As the doctor leaves his little rectumery, walks out the marble path covered with aggies and cat's eyes from his youth, down the long path of life, past the elm grove of superstition, and toward the true way. Yes, it's Dr. Whiplash. He's come again to the font of perpetual resurrection to answer some of your questions.
Come in, Doctor.
Dave, what's the first question?
Well, I have a letter here from a gentleman in Flotsam's Mistake, New Jersey. And actually, he's been kind enough to send this letter in on a tape cassette for you, Doctor, so we'll hear his voice, and you can use his voice to help you analyze the problem.
It's a novel idea. Leave it to the Japs.
Dear Dr. Whiplash, I am a Japanese businessman. Why have I written before? So I still suffering from the same complaint. I only suffer in the office during the day. At night, I eat out and feel better. And although I can't sleep, it's because of a part of my noise. What should I do? Hideo Gump.
Dear Hideo, your symptoms are shared by people other than your race. To wit, many executives complain to me as suffering from flushing, blushing, running of the mouth, high stool, seat cramps, delayed borgorygmus, and shortness of pants. They also, like you, feel relieved of these symptoms away from the orifice. Can anything be done? Yes, and it should be done now. They, and you, Hideo, are suffering from farmer's lung, usually confined to barns and sponge warehouses. It is attributable to a hybrid fungus, which lodges in the massive air conditioning systems that supply oxygen of sorts to the big buildings that your daddy works in. Although the same bug can be found in home furnaces, It's often rendered ineffectual due to the fact that poor people can't afford air conditioning and are forced to run their furnaces to heat their homes during the summer. This fries the fungus. We doctor people use the word Microsporifera funi in referring to this little pest, and literally it can be translated as funny spores, long known as the cause of Theodore's disease, running sores in athletes' feet. Recently, this microscopic troublemaker has also been blamed in the nasty disease labeled Hartman's palsy, formerly Strassmann syndrome, the only cure for which is death. I'll answer any questions, dear friends. Just write me if you still have the strength. Until next week, this is Dr. Whiplash. I'm out for lunch.
The truth is, back then, the majority of Canadians couldn't afford even the most basic health care. And for Tommy, that wasn't good enough.
Tommy Douglas's leg was saved when a high-priced surgeon eventually agreed to operate for free. He got lucky. But most people weren't so fortunate, and he knew it. Tommy dreamt of universal health care for all Canadians, but he would have to show that it could be done in Saskatchewan first. By 1959, he was ready.
I think that medical care is so important that it ought not to have a price tag on it. I think that we have come to the place where medical care, like education, ought to be available to every citizen, irrespective of their financial state.
And once it was up and running in Saskatchewan, everyone else wanted a piece. Tommy took his rebellion to Ottawa, and after six long years, the Liberal government couldn't put it off any longer. Medicare went national. Lester Pearson's Liberals even tried to take the credit, but they wouldn't have gone near healthcare if Tommy hadn't gone first. And the ramifications are huge.
And this is what it all boils down to, the 49th parallel. It's the dividing line between our way and their way. And did you know that on that side, every 30 seconds, somebody declares bankruptcy because of medical bills? What I'm saying is, Americans go broke being sick. And I just can't tell you how glad I am that we don't live that way. That's all thanks to Tommy.
We pledged ourselves 50 years ago that we would provide health care for every man, woman, and child, irrespective of their color, their race, or their financial status, and by God, we're going to do it!
So how does that, so you're the runt of this litter, and did you, like, did you learn a lot from your brothers? Were you wearing everyone else's clothes? How did that work?
Yeah, all that stuff. Because we didn't have any money growing up. I don't know how much my dad was making. What, he was hauling down net for running the
but you had health
boiler
care.
Rooms. And,
right? Oh, everybody got taken care of.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids. You don't have seven kids without health care.
It's Jack Bauer.
Hi, my name is Kiefer Sutherland. My grandfather, Tommy Douglas.
And your friends from the CIA?
We're taking over the show and giving you free health care.
The doctors will all go on strike.
Ball four!
Isn't that what Chief Dan George told Little Big Man?
Bring back the Seattle Pilots. Couldn't be any worse than the Mariners.
Tie them up, Jack Bauer. Use that tie stick.
It's so sticky.
I've been dead for 25 years, but you Yankees wouldn't know that. You probably think my name was Tony Douglas.
Free health care. Free health care. Dr. Benway, save me. I'll give back Steely Dan.
We took over the Saskatchewan government in 1944, the first democratic socialist government in North America. Now we're taking over your show.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Jack Bauer, you're a Hollywood actor. This isn't Saskatchewan, Provo. It's...
Good evening, Michael. Good evening, Peter. And good evening, KPFK audience. At this time, Hollywood Provo presents 2 hours of continuous sign-offs. Station KPFK, listener-supported Pacifica Radio for Southern California, transmits...
Ripping off our boy Tommy? That's what the liberals did best.
Just take a look at what's been lifted from the left, and Tommy can take credit for loads of it. Not just Medicare, but stuff like old age pensions and the minimum wage, right down to free textbooks in schools. He set up North America's first small claims court, and Tommy's Arts Board of Saskatchewan was another first for the continent. And our greatest Canadian was a huge champion of public broadcasting. Well, nobody gets it right all the time. Each and every one of these things was picked up by the governing party when, and only when, it was politically expedient to do so. Back in 1936, Tommy had gone to Germany, where he checked out one of those chest-thumping Nazi party rallies. Tommy quickly saw Hitler for what he really was, a lunatic with a dodgy mustache, intent on taking over the world. Tommy denounced Hitler when many of our politicians were still insisting he was a really nice guy. A year after Tommy's trip to Deutschland, Liberal Prime Minister Mackenzie King described Adolf as one who truly loves his fellow men. King went on to say that Hitler's skin was smooth and that he had an affectionate look in his eyes. What?
Berchtesgaden, Germany, May 21st, AP. A 59-year-old man who said he was Hitler's personal physician since 1936 declared today, 1945, he gave the Führer injections of glucose and caffeine, sugar and coffee.
Sugar and coffee. What would you like in your veins, Schnifter? I'd like a black
Stumper, with
a...
call me Stumper.
Stumper, Stumper. What would you like in your veins?
Regular shot.
Regular shot. Hey, that's espresso. That'll keep you up all week.
He said his name was Dr. Theodore Morell. He was sure. Gravely ill in a hospital, suffering from a stroke. He said was caused when Hitler berated him in a fit of anger on April 21st. I heard officers outside the Führer's door talking excitedly. They said it was that's ridiculous for Hitler to remain in Berlin, and they must force him to go to Berchtesgaden. Dr. Sprobführer of the SS suggested I give him an injection of glucose as a stimulant. He was physically wore out. Mein Führer! You are very tired. I'm going to give you an injection to make you feel better.
Goes into rage.
Despite the fact that Hitler had been receiving injections from Morell for several months, he went into a rage and shouted,
"Do you think I'm crazy? You're trying to give me morphine. You're fired. Get out. Go home and take your medical uniform off. Forget I had anything to do with you."
Morell said he collapsed at Hitler's feet. Later, he recalled waking up in the Führer's bunker. Hitler seemed remorseful and offered to have him removed to a safer place. Yeah. Morell said he left Berlin the next night for Berchtesgaden.
Keep close to the walls.
I found him in a state of ecstasy. Morell declared he was not an eyewitness to the bombing attempt on Hitler's life. Speaking of bombs. But was one of the first to reach his side.
Somebody's in the bathroom.
I found him in a state of ecstasy. His hair was singed and his face was bleeding. He was sitting and saying over and over...
Think of it. Think of it. Nothing has happened to me. Just think of it.
I was astonished to find his pulse absolutely normal.
Morell said...
Which one of you was the little schnifter?
There was nothing to the stories that Hitler chewed rugs.
It grew much worse when he grew pale and quiet and remained that way for several minutes. These scenes were invariably followed by some ruthless order.
Not a rugless order, as has been reported.
Get this rug out of here!
Morell was convinced, he said, that Hitler did not commit suicide.
But then, plenty of things seem bizarre in hindsight. You see, Tommy had a knack for knowing right from wrong at the time. The bigger question was, how long would it take the rest of us to catch up? Thirty years later, Tommy was still way ahead of the curve. The conflict in Vietnam was escalating, and Tommy broke ranks with the other political parties to condemn the war.
The United States is back at the old game, trying to buttress up discredited regimes and trying to force on people governments that they don't want.
That sounds like a no-brainer now. But criticizing the Vietnam conflict back then took real political courage. The anti-war movement was still in diapers when Tommy made his stand.
The best review I ever read on the Fireside Theater was in Rolling Stone, when a guy wrote in to say that he would be listening to us in the rice paddies in Vietnam with the bullets flying over his head on his earphones. It was the only thing that kept him sane. I liked that review because I got to tell you, the Fireside Theater, as I see it, can't speak for all four of the guys, but I think it's very true. We're a platoon of guerrillas. from 1968 to 1973, we fought the Holocaust in Vietnam, and we won. And we all are the walking wounded because of it. We are veterans. We are truly Vietnam veterans. People didn't spit on us because we spat first. But we were guerrillas, and I honor us for that. I think we ought to get ribbons, small ribbons that we could wear in the lapels of our tank tops.
When I was 21, there was a club that opened up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan,
yeah,
which is 2 hours away, and I moved there to start it. But
I was a student at the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon from 1970 to 71. One day in the winter, I left my residence and was confronted with five suns in the sky.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say.
The real sun in the middle, bracketed by two rainbows, then two more suns, bracketed by two more rainbows, and outside of them, two more suns. Strangest thing I've ever seen in the sky. They're called sun dogs. I hadn't been in Saskatchewan for many years when I went to visit some cousins there in 1999. As I was driving from Regina to Moose Jaw, to my right were farms with bright red barns against a field of glowing golden grain. The deep blue sky was full of puffy white clouds, both of which were mirrored in the water in the ditches surrounding the fields. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen up to that point in my life. I had to pull over to the side of the road to keep from being overwhelmed by the beauty. One problem I have with Brent Butt's hit show Corner Gas is that it never shows the beauty of Saskatchewan or the strangeness.
I think one of the reasons it had success or connected with people is that, you know, we weren't hiding the fact that we were Canadian, which some shows would do.
Right.
They would be nebulous as to where they were to try and
right.
appeal to a U.S. market.
Right.
We weren't that. We said we were Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
But that's all. It was never about being there, really. It was yeah. never about Saskatchewan. People would say, it's a show about, you know, Saskatchewan. You go, no, it's not. It's a show about. And that's why
people.
It had this appeal. It played in 26 countries. And
it did.
You know, we had guys. Yeah, I would have guys from Sweden say, it's just like the village I grew up in Sweden.
Right.
And I would have guys from Manhattan say, this is just like my neighborhood.
So you're starting in Saskatoon. You're doing what? They have an open mic?
Yeah. Thursday night. First, it was the first night in February 1988. I remember the.
Yeah, and then you stay in that area and you're kind of building your act
for a matter of months.
Building
so,
the act.
Yeah, so I was going down an amateur night and it was going well.
Yeah.
So I got offered a couple weekend spots,
uh-huh.
paid spots,
uh-huh.
and then they were like, "Hey, there's this guy coming through, John Wing Jr., who I'd seen on TV."
I know Wing.
Yeah,
I saw
he's
him
great
do a
guy.
Canadian night at the Comedy Store.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Was it like Canada Day, July 1st?
Yeah,
was
I think
it,
it might have been.
Kind of
I think it might have been. So
but
Wing,
anyway, they,
so he
they said
hey,
this guy's coming through, and we need an opening act for him. He's going to go do a show at Diggers in Prince Albert.
Yeah.
Prince Albert, all out for Prince Albert.
It's good to be out of that can.
Next stop, Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
We're starting hot here in Saskatoon because we got two Saskatchewanians, Saskatchewanites. What? How do you say it, Kelly?
I don't know. It's the yeah. first time I've heard it. People usually just say, "Where are you from?" and I say Saskatchewan, and they just say, "Where do you live now?" and.
We're going to get something settled once and for all here in Saskatoon, and I can't think of a better place to do it. Saskatoon isn't a tourist destination. Now listen, stop booing your own town, you animals! The New York Times picked Saskatoon as a, and I quote, place to go in 2018. And that has somehow led to a lot of debate in this city. One person who loves coming here is the Queen. Last time she was here, she was presented with the key to the city. Now, she needs to give 1 week written notice before she shows up, as per the typical landlord-tenant agreement. Henceforth, She can help if you guys are ever locked out. All you have to do is fly to England, go to Buckingham Palace, tell one of those beefeater guys you need to see the Queen, and then boom, you'll be locked up for the night. Well, time's a ticking, so... Whereas there is more than ever to see and do, be it resolved that Saskatoon is indeed a tourist destination. Corey, you are arguing for this, please. You have 2 minutes, starting now.
Thank you. Saskatoon is a tourist attraction. At first, I was a bit surprised at Saskatoon making the New York Times list, but then I reminded myself there really is no place better to get away from it all. At first, I thought Saskatoon might attract niche markets, Steve. For example, if you're bothered by NHL hockey franchises. Seriously, Saskatoon has always taken tourism seriously. When back in my day, they built Blackstrap Mountain Ski Hill, a mountain! So the kids could ski! The little Flatlanders could ski! We give and we give, Steve. We're the governor's a givener. Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're a natural tourist attraction. Folks around here call Saskatoon the city. Our greatest tourism resource? Kids from PA like Kelly. You know, we're known as the Paris of the prairies. Yes, sir. Nobody else attracts tourists like Saskatoon and Gay Perry. We've got the world-class Remain Modern, 8,000 art pieces, including the world's largest collection of Picasso's lino cuts. That's a lot of lino cuts. There's 8 bridges and counting. Why? Because over there might be more amazing than what's over here. So many things to see. Can't decide where to go in Saskatoon. No worries. Cross that bridge when you come to it. Thank you.
Corey Mack, yeah. She was referring to PA kids. For listeners at home, she's talking about Prince Albert, not children that are subjects of a public announcement. Now, to tell us why he won't fall head over heels for a trip to Saskatoon, here's Prince Albert's own, Kelly Taylor.
Mosquitoes are up north, the ticks are down south. Meet in the middle in Saskatoon. Get them both. You guys know, if you actually go on TripAdvisor, do you know what the top thing to do in Saskatoon is? Western Development Museum. Hey, Western Development Museum, you're exactly like going to my grandparents' house. Except my grandparents have dainties and whiskey. Saskatoon. You don't call it a zoo, you call it a forestry farm. Because you have animals there that you've almost hit on the highway. I take that back. You have a few animals that I have hit on the highway. Honey, come check out the golfer exhibit. Saskatoon shines. It's skin cancer, Corey.
Oh, it's so dark.
That's why my mom's not here. I'm just kidding. This was the 9 o'clock show, and my dad said the traffic's terrible in Saskatoon. Saskatoon, for a small, big city, you guys have the worst city to get around in. Circle Drive? Seriously? Let's call it Scribbled Up Oval Drive. There's nothing better than hitting Circle. Oh, it'll be faster. No, train! Oh, it's almost done. Oh, no, it's backing up. Oh, is that a sky train and an L train for good public transportation? No, that's green. No one's on it. Is there any public transportation? No. But you know what? I am from Saskatchewan, and you will hear this lost. Saskatoon is great compared to Regina. Don't get too... That's like saying, the Oilers are great compared to my rec hockey team. Saskatoon takes credit for people who aren't even here. Like, from here. Gordie Howe Bridge, Gordie Howe Park. Gordie Howe was from Floral, Saskatchewan. John Diefenbaker International Airport. John Diefenbaker served in PA. And way to throw an international airport. That flight to Minneapolis is really putting you on the map. I will sum this up for you, Saskatoon. I am from Saskatchewan. I do most of my work in Saskatoon. And I choose to live in Prince Albert. The third most dangerous place in the world. But at least it's better than Idlewild traffic in the morning. Thank you.
Kelly Taylor. Kelly Taylor saying Saskatoon is most definitely not a tourist destination, and many people who are here in Saskatoon seem to agree with them, and that's weird. And it's time now for the bare knuckle round. We're debating if Saskatoon is a great tourist destination, so bridge your logic and stick to the flax, even if just barley. Give your opponent a stoon up. Be a hub city of ideas and make their argument perish on the prairies. So pike up your pants, but not so high we'll see your Beaver Creek. I'll let the listening audience Saskatoon on that one for a while. It's time to put each other in a big old bunny hug right now.
Kelly, you're driving so many times back and forth from PA, getting to Saskatoon as fast as you can, and you're hitting all these animals that are at the forestry park. What are you hitting? Buffalo? Cougars?
Actually, I hit cougar up at Kindersley Bar the other night, too. Did you know, you're talking about all these bridges that Saskatoon has, did you know I'm a little bit of a geophobia? That's fear of bridges, guys. Try to spell it. It's as hard as Idlewild.
What else are you afraid of, Kelly?
Last call.
Okay. All right. That's the bare knuckle round. Time now for the firing line. In my hand, I have a list of questions on Saskatoon as a tourist destination, brought to you by the Tourism Board of the Athabasca Sand Dunes. Athabasca Sand Dunes. Saskatoon's got nothing on our dunes. Is their slogan that we just made up. Visitors to Saskatoon can achieve honorary local status by getting Saskatooned, which involves pounding your chest 3 times and doing what? Corey.
Driving the bike lanes without getting hit by an F-150.
The survivors have given you 3 points for that. Kelly Taylor?
I'm going to say put on a bunny hug and chug a Vico.
I don't know what you just said, but 2 points. If you want to get Saskatooned out here, you got to down a drop of Saskatoon berry liqueur in a Great Western beer, clicking your glass and yelling Saskatoon. I've never heard of that. I think it's something you say you do, but you don't. And then someone walks into a bar here and says, I'd like to get Saskatooned, and you punch them in the face. Is that what I'm reading? Yeah. When it comes to fast food, visitors to Saskatoon can dine at the world's only what? Kelly?
A restaurant that serves all their food in old margarine containers. Just like my mom.
That's good homemade eating. 1 point. Corey Mack.
Jelly salad drive-thru.
Jelly salad? This is a whole new world, this debate. The pierogi drive-thru at Baba's Homestyle Pierogi. Pierogi drive-thru. I don't even know. How does it work? Do they throw them at you individually? How does it work?
I've never known. I've just literally boiled my own water and made pierogies. I never knew there was a science to it. People got mad right there because they're like, oh, no, there's a science to it.
Well, the science is the boiling point of water. What site helped land Saskatoon on the New York Times 52 places to visit in 2018? Kelly Taylor.
Sutherland Bar. Oh, sorry. The Scuzz.
There is I don't know what's happening. 3 points. Corey Mack.
The bucket list for a lot of tourists is stock car racing on 8th Street.
That's a good answer. I like that. The actual thing that landed Saskatoon on the New York Times 52 places to visit in 2018, the Rimet Modern Art Gallery. And that is the firing line, everybody. Okay. We're rounding the bend here. Just about time for our beautiful Broadway theater audience to pick a winner. But first, here again to tell us why seeing the sights of Saskatoon isn't on his bucket list, it's TripAdvisor, Kelly Taylor.
Yes, when you think of a tourist destination, in Canada, you think of Montreal, Kelowna, Vancouver. From the high fashion of Montreal to the low-end fashion in Saskatoon. Saskatoon has its own fashion where you can wear old denim. An old denim sandwich of your jeans and jean coat to the TCU for every concert. But I will give the TCU this. They do have great sight lines at all those concerts. Zero Saskatoon Blades championships in the way. Saskatchewan, home to 100,000 lakes. None are close to Saskatoon. Pike Lake is the only one, and you go there to get the itch. How is this a tourist destination? New York Times picks Saskatoon from this art gallery. What artists do we have in Saskatoon? What art scene is there in Saskatoon? The most famous artist in Saskatoon is a vagabond that draws ships named Sailor Dan. You go to a tourist destination in Canada, you see beautiful things, beautiful scenery. Vancouver, you go there and it's very outdoorsy, beautiful scenery. Everyone's outdoors getting exercise. Saskatoon, you see someone on a bike, your first thought's like, oh, look who got a DUI. Thank you very much.
Kelly Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here again to tell us that Saskatoon is flat out a great tourist destination, it's more Toontown touting from Corey Mack.
Thank you. Thank you. Gourmet food, art, culture, an orchestra, festivals, and fun as far as your eyes can see, Steve. If you haven't been, you've heard about us, right? Toontown, Saskapoosh, Hub City, the Guess Who, we're running back to Saskatoon. And that is, by the way, now the most popular used phrase as a Facebook status during the holidays for Saskatoonians. Where else would you suggest? Prince Albert's tourism motto is a gateway to the north, which means don't stop here, keep going. We have a berry named after us, friends, that makes amazing pies, jams, tea, medicine to save the children. Imagine the prestige, Kelly, a berry named after you. Does PA have a berry? No. I rest my face into a friendly smile and welcome you to Saskatoon.
Corey Mack. All right. It is up to the Saskatoony people to decide who the winner of this debate is. By your applause, audience, who liked Corey's Saskatoon vacation destination fascination? Corey Mack. Look at this guy, I know. Okay, and who thinks Kelly's anti-Saskatoon stance sold us on this one? Kelly Taylor. All right. The Saskatoon crowd has spoken. They do not want you visiting here, Canada. The winner is Kelly Taylor. Saskatoon is not a tourist destination. Big hand for Kelly Taylor and Corey Mack, everybody. Well, that's all for this week. I'm Steve Patterson saying to anyone who hasn't visited Saskatchewan, get out here. Your friends will be green and white with envy. I'll argue with you again soon, Canada. Good night.
This There's a province up in Canada that's right next door to ours. It's called Saskatchewan. And in that province there's a small town where nothing much ever happens called Saskatoon. There's a tune about that town. It's called Running Back to Saskatoon. Gone, gone.
Saskatoon.